Randy here once again to crack an egg of knowledge. Summer is upon us, and that means it's time for fancy beach cocktails like mojitos, cosmos, sangrias, mint juleps, margaritas, and daiquiris. It's just like Sex in the City. And the best part? Riverside Wine & Spirits has everything you need for those tasty treats. They also have a ton of great beer to choose from that comes in growlers, six-packs, 12-packs, cases, and my favorite, kegs. So, go have a badass summer and party on with Riverside Wine & Spirits. Okay, now manufacturers wrote.
Hey there, Brew Chatters, Brewsketeers, and Brew Chattians. I'm Tanner, as always, and we are back at it again for another episode of the Brew Chat Podcast. We've got Jackie Helbert with us this week, and she's here to talk about gender in film and the Bechdel test with us, along with drinking a couple IPAs. But she also tells us the illustrious story behind her firing, which if you guys aren't sure who Jackie Helbert is, I'm sure you guys have heard the story of that WUTC reporter that was fired. You know, that's her. So tune in for this. So she's here to hang out, drink some IPAs, talk about some gender and film and whatnot, and along with tell her story. But also, before we get into that, I wanted to remind everybody that on July 22nd, which I believe is next weekend, we've got Sip and Savor, which is going to be down at the Chattanooga Choo Choo. They're going to have beer, wine, tons of tasty food, and all sorts of things like that. I think it's I'm actually not sure of the price, so I don't want to say something and then it'd be way more than that. So, yeah, go search for it on Facebook. That's Sip and Savor. Go check it out. It's going to be a fun event. I'm going to be down there along with Jared and Allen. So make sure you get down there to that. Get some good food. Get some good wine. Get some good beer. And, yeah, you can get more details about that at brewchat.com. Also, go check out brewchat.com. We've got lots of cool shit up there. Go check that out. We've got, obviously, all the podcast episodes, but along with that, we've got some video content, we got pictures, all sorts of stuff. So anyway, let's do this. Here's episode 83 of the Brew Chat Podcast. Oh, right. I want to get yellow ones.
They work really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll just have to get like Brew Chat koozies and cover them in that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, can we get those on the? No, we can't. I didn't see those on the
store
earlier.
No, Cafe Press doesn't have koozies.
Don't have koozies.
And then until we get our own, but we got to get a storage unit. It's a whole ordeal.
You got to get a house, man.
Yeah. But that's not any better.
Yeah, it is. You own it.
Well, yeah, I own it, but I've still just got a bunch of Brew Chat merchandise sitting around. That's what I don't want.
Yeah, but then you move the studio over there, and you're not paying, like, rent.
Yeah.
It's called equity.
Yeah. I know. I've heard about it. Well, anyway, we've got Miss Jackie Helbert with us this week, who, I don't know, I guess the best way people would know you is that WTC reporter that got fired.
Yeah.
That's what... everybody's told, or I guess I've told everybody when I was like, yeah, I've got Jackie Helbert coming on the podcast this week, trying to build some hype. I'm like, oh, who's that? Like, the WTC reporter. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great episode. So,
yeah, I think that's going to be written on my tombstone.
If not, somebody will come by and carve it in there. Maybe that senator. Or was it a congressman?
It's going to be you.
Senator. Yeah.
Anyway, I guess, do you want to give a little bit of backstory on that? It's your call. You don't have to if you don't want to.
No, yeah, no, I don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, so I moved to Chattanooga about 8 months ago to do a radio job for WTC. It's my dream job. I used to do customer service for a long time, and then I got into podcasting and started making my own. Then I got to this Transom Storytelling Workshop, which is a pretty big deal in the radio world. And so this is like my first job coming out of that, doing radio. I was really excited about it. So I worked there for almost 6 months when the kerfluffle happened. I did this story about the trans bathroom bill, the anti-transgender bathroom bill, and I rode with a group of high school students from the Gay Straight Alliance up to the Capitol and embedded with them. So I had on like my huge headphones, my lanyard, a bow tie, a big microphone with a dead cat, big fuzzy cover on it.
Yeah.
Press pass, this big messenger bag that said WTC. So it was extremely obvious that I was a reporter. There were other reporters there that day because there's press conferences and things like that. And so I went with the students to meet with two people. One was Senator Bell and one was Representative Brooks. So Senator Bell, he was very open with the teenagers about his stances. He basically said transgender people, like the science behind it is hogwash. And there was like transgender kids in the room. He, you know, said that he would, of course, vote for it if it, you know, went to the floor and all that stuff. He was just pretty terrible. He was saying, like, if I feel like a, you know, a girl on Monday, a boy on Tuesday, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, what if I feel like a dog on Wednesday, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went and spoke with the other, or the kids spoke. I just stood there with my recording gear, and I shook his hand. So they knew I was a reporter when I went in there, but...
Well, I saw your picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was, like, cartoonish, if anything, yeah. Like, how much I looked like a reporter. I left a dead cat on there, not because I needed it. It wasn't windy, but because I wanted to be extremely obvious.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shy. I didn't want to have to be like, hey, reporter, reporter. Mm-hmm. You know, the press pass is supposed to do that. But, and then I went to, with Brooks, he was really nice to the kids. He thanked them for coming. He stayed in there, like, 15 minutes late and talked to them. He was just really... nice to him, told him they were brave for talking to him, that he probably wouldn't vote for the bill, but he didn't think that it would, you know, get past the first stage. So then I went back and did the story, and it was like the largest story we'd ever done, largest news story. They immediately, you know, were getting all these hits and shares and stuff like that. My boss called me and was like, you know, you did an excellent job. This is what we hired you to do. Oh, and when we edited it, it wasn't just me editing it. My boss's boss were editing it because they have like a lot of experience, like 30 some years journalism experience, and I'm a newbie. So we made sure it was like fair and all that. So it got a lot, gained a lot of traction, and then I started getting calls, or the station started getting calls from the legislators because they were upset about the story, because they were getting a ton of calls from people who were really pissed because there was kids crying in the story. So long story short, I hope I'm not rambling too much here.
No, okay. That's what we do every week.
Yeah. So. Okay. So long story short, like I got an email with a list of questions, basically a delegate of lawmakers, a senator, representative, and someone else, like people representing the House and the Senate. Three of them went to the university and threatened to withhold funds from the university if they didn't fire me. And I heard different numbers, up to, like, $50 million.
Damn.
Yeah. And there's, like, emails. So I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm a newbie. I'm nobody. Like, I'm part-time. And so I started recording everything because Tennessee's a one-state consent law. Only one person has to consent, and I'm the person consenting. So I started recording all the meetings and everything that was happening. And so... like, over time, like, just a few days, you know, I had to get, like, statements from the kids saying that my press badge was showing and blah, 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 and all this. Anyways, they ended up firing me. They went over the people. So it was the way it works, the station is on the university. The university holds the license to the radio station, even though they're an NPR affiliate. And that is actually a common thing I've learned since then. And so... the university fired me over anybody at the station. There was no one there at the station who wanted me to get fired. So they fired me same day they took the story down. So it was censored. Well, damn. I was told that there was, like, no lawsuit. That I couldn't do anything about legally because Tennessee's a right-to-work state or whatever you call it. And so I would need to take it to the press. So I, where I had all these recordings, I, like, transcribed them, made, like, a packet, and, like, went and met with a reporter here, Kendi Rainwater. She's amazing. And just it was like very much like a movie. I'm like, here's a packet of information. My secret recording.
Pulled out of your trench coat.
Yeah. So she started looking into it, and it just hit the press, and it became a big deal because it's like censorship of the press and then the whole gay thing. And it became this really big deal. And NPR, like, they were getting a lot of flack from it. People went crazy on the WTC website, like, just saying awful things to them, saying they wouldn't support them and stuff. And I was trying to be, and they were doing rallies and stuff. And so I told them, I'm like, you know, it's not really WTC's fault. They're kind of caught in the crossfire. It's the university and the legislators' fault. Mm-hmm. So it ended up becoming a national story, and Associated Press never picked it up, and then it became an international story. There's like articles in New Zealand about it. And, like, it
oh, was, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, like Cokie Roberts talked about it for like 20 minutes on this show. It was really weird. But NPR released a statement supporting me. They said that it was, what I did was like basically a rookie mistake. It was coachable at most. I should have said, I'm a reporter. But because I have my press badge and everything like that, that, you know, like it's not a fireable offense. But it was an egregious error, the fact that they took down my story, you know, they censored my story, that was a big problem.
Yeah.
So NPR came out, like basically every journalistic entity that exists came out and supported me, but UTC doubled down and like just doubled down and doubled down. So then I found out that there actually was possibility of doing a lawsuit, a civil suit, and so I'm in the process of doing that right now.
Yeah, go get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's horse shit.
I'll drink
straight
to that.
Horse shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
So I gotta ask, did the one senator actually call the idea of transgender hogwash?
What he said, I believe is what he said. They're talking about science, and he was like, there's no science to back it up. There's no science to back it up.
Yeah.
Basically, his office mate, another senator or whatever, mm-hmm. he's like, is a doctor, and he says it's all hogwash.
So I just didn't know people still use that word, seriously.
Yeah. It's hogwash, I say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And, like, the part that really I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening, is he's like, yeah, I read this story. I can't remember what state he said, but there was this transgender, he called the person an it several times. He's like, there's this transgender person that was put in a jail. And he's like, it was a he, and he was put in a female prison. So obviously it's transgender woman is what he's talking about. He's like, but he got kicked out because he kept having sex, or he got moved or whatever, because he kept having sex with all the female inmates. So I'm like, what the heck? And he's saying this to teenagers. It's like, what? And it has nothing to do with the bathroom bill or anything. It's like, so I looked it up, and the closest thing I could find is that he was talking about a Breitbart article. It's something that happened in Australia. It had absolutely nothing to do with the bathroom bill. I think the person was being charged with murder, actually. And it was never confirmed. There was no actual sources to confirm any of that happened.
Oh, my God. So,
jeez.
Yeah. And this is the person who makes legislation about that. He had sponsored that bill previously.
Well, that's the season of the TV series we're living right now. That's the plot of the season, is a bunch of misinformed people are making choices about things that they don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Based on fabricated.
Yeah, based on just
false truths,
just
fake news.
Alternative facts, I believe, is the colloquial.
Yeah. Right, alternative
I think
facts.
The thing that most people don't understand about this situation is it wasn't the fact that he was so terrible to the kids, like that brought attention to it and brought it to the forefront, but it was the fact that Brooks was really nice to the kids, and he's a pastor, and he runs on a really conservative platform. And so the reason they contacted the university is because they were afraid that he would lose voters because he appeared pro-gay. So that's why this all happened. They didn't want him to appear pro-gay.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow, yeah. That's super fucked up. Like, and that's the world we live in. Like, and that's why I started talking to you about podcasting to begin with, is I wanted to talk about censorship, not on this episode, mm-hmm. but I want to do a follow-up eventually of the propaganda episode that I did a couple episodes back. But I wanted to introduce you here.
Mm-hmm.
And because those episodes get a little heavy. And that way, you know, I thought it was a bad idea to bring somebody in for the first time on one of those. So, but anyway, yeah, that is an amazing tall tale.
That is a
there.
Roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
I've made a lot of people mad, but I've never had an actual number attached to it. 50 million is impressive.
Yeah, it's been a super stressful ride.
Yeah.
But overall, it's got to feel pretty good that you ruffled $50 million worth of feathers,
yeah,
I guess.
That's your net worth right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That's... Wow, I can't wait to hear the
I've also never had an international news story about me.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It's really
impressive.
Weird to, like, Google your name and see it pop up in all these places.
Yeah, I can't remember which morning show it was, because I sort of flit around between them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was brought up. I mean, your name wasn't brought up, but it was brought up just kind of tangentially, you know, in morning news, like, well, not morning news, but one of those like morning radio shows where they'll teach you how to make dinner or something. And then, whoa, an Amber Alert.
Amber Alert.
I mean, is everybody's going off here? Yep. What is it? Is a child stolen?
That's an Amber Alert. I got nothing right now.
It doesn't give specifics.
Apple.
Oh, I'm sorry. Apple clearly doesn't just saw care. Your message.
Oh, you're fine. Black no,
you got here.
Altima. Yeah, we found it.
No, Apple apparently doesn't mind the
apartment, not the Nissan Altima.
Apple doesn't care about this particular missing child, I guess. Yeah,
my phone doesn't. It's like, nah. But anyway, yeah, so thank you for telling your story, because I know you're probably tired
yeah,
telling
for
at
sharing.
This point.
No,
but,
it's,
yeah.
It's okay. It's yeah. like it's a talking point. It's a party conversation talking point. So
you just start going up to people like, hey, have you met me? I'm the WTCT, however the fuck you say it, reporter that was fired.
Have I got a tale for you? Yeah.
Dressed like the press with the brown fedora and the giant press ticket sticking out of it.
Yeah, every time I get in a room, I'm a reporter.
That is what you should start doing. Just so obviously, like, hey, Dad.
Carry a little, like, tape recorder around with you all the time.
Welcome to Wendy's. Would you like to try our 4-for-4 combo? I'm a reporter, and yes.
You're possibly being recorded right now.
Well, let's talk about some beers for a second here. You said you liked IPAs, mm-hmm. so I'll grab some IPAs. And the first one we cracked open here is Blackberry Farms, which we're a huge fan of here on the show. They're up by Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, kind of sort of up that way. And this is the first one I think we've had on here that's been in a can.
But coyote tactics.
Yeah, Coyote Tactics. IPA, 7.2%. Flavor text?
Not much.
Yeah.
I was looking at it earlier. I was looking at it right as you actually said, like, feel like a dog on Wednesday. And I thought dog on Wednesday would be a great name to go with that art.
Oh, yeah. The flavor text is just our 9,200-acre retreat provides the perfect inspiration for adventure, exploration, and connection with the friends and the great outdoors.
Hmm.
Drink fresh, drink now, and make a great day. Blackberry Farms.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool can. Yeah, it's tasty, though. I don't know. Blackberry Farms is up there with Ballast Point for me. Hmm. It's. I mean, they can't really do any wrong. Hmm. Yeah. What kind of beer do you stick to IPAs mostly?
Yeah,
or?
Mostly. Yeah. I like Russian Imperial Stouts.
Oh, damn.
yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I like pretty hoppy or really dark, strong beers. If you're going to drink beer, it should taste like beer, not water. So.
Yeah. We
yeah,
just did a...
Or fruity. Ugh.
On 4th of July, we did the Macro Challenge for our episode, and which is now the episode right before this. But we sat down with, I think it was seven.
It was seven, yeah.
Yeah, different macro beers and went through them doing a blind taste test. And Mick Ultra came out pretty much on top.
Yeah. Yep. With the weird.
But that's because it tastes like nothing. It's just.
And Miller Lite was the one only one we all got right because we didn't know what they were. And we picked that one out of a lineup of seven straw colored beers and we
horrible.
Hated it.
It was definitely the worst out of
definitely all of them. Definitely the worst. But I don't know. This one's pretty good. There's not much.
Yeah, you said it's what, 7?
7.2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know, you can't...
Nice gold color to it, very inoffensive. I'd say it's just sort of like a textbook IPA.
Yeah,
There's not much.
A little bit stronger, maybe? It's.
I mean, it's 7.2, frighteningly. But, you know,
no,
ever
I mean,
since
like
the law changed in January, I mean, that's pretty normal, so...
But this is, it's probably a little more bitter than a regular IPA that you're going to find, like...
You think
I
so?
I don't know. Bouncy House or something. I don't
know.
Do
you
know
what the IBUs
are? I was looking for that. It didn't say on here.
Here, I'll look as if you guys all completely missed it.
We could have. We very well could have.
It happens.
No, that's one of those things I'll like Google on the sly.
Yeah, what else do we have going on over here? We got a couple tall boys.
It's just a very inoffensive IPA. Like,
yeah.
It just, there's not, it's not super complex.
It's good, though.
It's just a good drinking IPA. Like, I would put that up as far as if you're going to judge other IPAs against, like, to have a standard. That's a solid standard to have. The Coyote Tactics, though, make me think that maybe they were going for a West Coast IPA. Yo no say. Yeah, what else we got, though? What else we got over here?
I see a Weyerbacher or something
grab
else.
Grab this, because we've had this Weyerbacher on here before. We've had it on here a couple times.
Pedal Tavern.
I should have thought about it a little more, but I was in a rush when I went ran by Riverside.
Oh, God.
Oh.
I did it. All right. This is the Petal Tavern IPA. 16 ounces. 6.2%. 80 IBUs on this one.
Oh.
Visit the brewery, 7300 Charlotte Pike, Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm.
37209. Tailgate beer. Juice, no juice added. All right.
Oh, that's cool. We've got two Tennessee IPAs.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Hoppy, not bitter, dank. Fruit, not stank. Hazy, not clear, delicious.
You read that like somebody having a stroke.
It's written like yeah. that.
Okay.
hops, Citra, Mosaic, and Amarillo, whatever. Malts, Pilsner, Flaked Oats, and Honey.
And Honey. Mm-hmm. Tailgate's pretty all right. I've not been there in Nashville. I actually, where did it say they were?
What?
Nashville?
Nashville.
Well, I know Nashville, but like, where in Nashville? Did it have an address, or am I imagining that you had an address on there?
7300 Charlotte Pike.
Okay, yeah. I think I know where that's at.
Nashville.
Yeah, it's in Nashville.
Tennessee.
That's right.
37209.
Oh, this looks super light and bubbly.
Brewed in Camden, Nashville.
Camden?
Camden. Camden,
Camden? Camden, Nashville. Well, it's Nashville, so it is canned in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they proudly talk like that up there. Because that's how you make gold record.
Right. This is
all right. This is stinky.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Is it dank? I haven't gotten to...
I would definitely say danky, that, yeah.
I'm pouring juice. More than
no,
usual.
No, she said it. Where's the dank? Not bitter, it says. Dank.
I'll crush this. I was trying to look up the IBUs
it's
on this other one,
definitely not
but...
bitter. I mean, what's giving it that dankiness? Is that the malts or is that the hops?
It does. It does
that's
not taste that way.
Yeah.
It tastes hoppy, but it smells danker than it tastes.
I don't know if I've ever... Oh, tailgate, okay.
They come to town once in a while and do some tap takeovers. I think they're doing one here in town coming up, but I'm not sure where. Hmm. And they're not paying us, so I'm not going to do the work to
it
find
does,
out exactly where right now.
It does smell far dankier than it tastes.
Mm-hmm. But you get like the lingering dank at the end.
It's got like the
that
light.
That would be a good name for a beer.
The lingering dank.
Lingering dank.
Yeah.
It's got some like light malts in it and everything, so.
A lingering.
What's the other one I said about the Gansett? The default malt.
Yeah, the default malt, another good one.
Yeah.
Not it's, clear, it's delicious. Not, those aren't even comparable.
It's not clear.
Descriptors.
No, it's not at all.
But they are accurate.
I'm just looking. It says juice, no juice added. That's one line.
That's
got it.
Yeah.
Hoppy, not bitter, dank. Okay,
that's
those kind of go
I read
together.
It like I was having a stroke.
Yeah,
that's how it's written.
Well, no, those kind of go together. Fruit, not stank, hazy. Those are all unrelated.
Yeah.
And then not clear but delicious.
Not
those
clear.
Aren't. Yeah, those aren't
not
related.
No, not at all.
I like
clarity
this,
has nothing to do with deliciousness.
Nope.
I like this redneck babe on the back of the truck here with the keg
yeah,
on the
right.
label. She's having a good... Oh, it's a pedal car.
Yeah,
no,
doing
okay.
yeah. it's a pedal tavern.
Well, it's an actual pedal car, apparently.
Right. Oh, yeah, it is. It's a truck that they turned into one.
Oh.
They have a keg in the back. They have the tailgate down, because tailgate...
Sure three people aren't going to move
sure
that thing.
Laws about that.
No. They're just sitting on steps.
No, me
on
and Micah,
oh,
me and Micah moved the one here. Just the two of us. It can be done.
Well, there's another okay. pedal over there where no one's sitting.
It's hard as shit.
They're just missing a couple people.
But it can be done.
Yeah,
ideally, you need
shit.
Like four or five people.
I was
going to
say, if you're going downhill, I'm sure it can be done.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love if the owners here, at the ones here in town, I wish they could safely sponsor a thing like this. But come down North Market, right up here, like by City High School where it starts to go downhill.
Oh.
Race the two pedal
oh my
carts.
God.
Would be
downhill, straight across Market Street Bridge, close down the street, make it an event where you have two teams
we'll
and
talk,
like, make a whole thing about it.
We'll talk to old Andy Burke about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we're in with the mayor.
Well, yeah, we're in there. We'll get old Andy on the horn.
But actually, he would probably know which streets to close down with him knowing how the traffic lights work
oh,
at every
he would,
intersection.
Yeah, he would know instantly.
You know, since that episode, we've seen him around town a couple times, and he's remembered us. We saw him at La Altania?
Yeah.
Oh, he
yeah.
remembers all the street timings. He definitely remembers us.
Oh, yeah.
And we're awesome, so.
And we're awesome.
Yeah. Maybe the next election season, you can get the different parties to have, like, their, you know, people running on one against the other. Whoever wins, that's how the votes go.
We could broker, like, a debate.
Okay.
Like a beer debate with the two mayoral. Yeah. I'll moderate good. It. I'll get my Lester Holt on and just...
As long as you let them know you're doing that. As long as you let them know you're press ahead of time.
I went real crazy in my head with that. Like some like blackface Lester Holt. Horrible idea. That is a horrible plan.
Yeah.
Lester Holt would be knocking at my door personally.
More than him, I would say.
See, that could be how you go viral, though.
Yeah.
That could be what's written on your tombstone, the guy who did blackface.
I'd carve that into your tombstone.
Well, after that, we could go cosplay that new Tupac movie. Like, you know, that'd be a great day.
That's
all eyes would definitely be on you.
Oh, ba-da-ba.
And that's how you do that.
Yeah.
I'd say you'd forever be known as pretty notorious for that.
Notoriously big?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's crack into this Weyerbacher here. Unless, I don't know. I kind of.
I like this one more. I like this one more than the first one, I got to say.
It's got more flavor than the first. I mean, it's more complex. It's got more going on.
More going on.
It's not as like cloying.
It's not as what?
It's like cloying and like. Syrupy as the
The
more of these IPAs I drink, the more I really like the dankiness, like those really earthy hops. Give me those. I'm over this like pine and floral nonsense. I want that dirt, that stank ass hops in there.
I do. I have gotten to where I think it was me and you talking the other day about how we'd gotten to where we really like the dirt flavor in beer. Just that like
earthy.
Yeah, it just tastes like dirt, but in a really good way.
Really good way.
You know.
Yeah.
But like that fancy dirt.
Mm-hmm. The kind of dirt you pay money for at Home Depot.
Right. That Whole Foods dirt.
It's not. Yeah. This is not your backyard dirt. This is the dirt you buy to put in your backyard.
The dirt with the little like white granules in it that probably do something.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. That's what you're probably tasting.
Those little white things.
Yeah, the little white foam ball things.
Yeah, no, I like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Look at this. Zaveyabaka.
Yeah, the Blackberry Farms one's, I mean, it's, and I'm not saying not bad as in mediocre. It's just factually not bad. But it just, it's just kind of, it's there.
It's very safe.
Yeah.
And unimpressive to me.
We have had this Weyerbacher on here before.
I recognize the Cyclops.
Yeah. It's the number 3. Raku and Wakakuku or whatever.
Oh.
I remember the goofy names.
Huh. Our revolving small batch IPA series is a way for you to enjoy the freshest IPA throughout the year. Each release is a new recipe featuring hops we've carefully selected. Okay, now if we've had this, this was canned end of March, so that's still got to be good.
Yeah. Rakow and Wakatu.
All right.
What? Like, where are those words coming from?
Those the can.
The types of hops.
Okay.
This is batch number 3, Rakow and Wakatu.
Where are those hops from? That could give us a clue as to... Like, are those...
Where's Weyerbacher
like,
from?
Like, Native American words.
Or, like, Hawaii.
Or this, Hawaii, yeah.
Pennsylvania is where the beer is from, but...
Maybe it's Dutch.
Could be.
Maybe.
We gotta start recycling glasses, so crush what you got.
Okay. It's illegal, Alan. To encourage binge drinking.
Binge drinking out of taster glasses. It'd smell like burning hair in a second.
It's very romantic. Okay. Drinks and a candle.
Where was yours? Okay, there's so many glasses on this table.
So you said you like Imperial Stouts?
Yeah, Russian Imperial Stouts. Rasputin, I think, is my favorite.
Ooh, I remember I got that Rasputin.
Yeah,
when
I've had that one.
21, I'd because at the time they didn't have.
Like, I think that's everyone's first Russian Imperial Stout.
Well, I got it. I went to World Market because I thought World Market was the place you go to get weird, crazy beers at the time.
Right.
Because you could build your own six packs at all the places. So I went out there when I turned 21, and it was the second six pack I bought legally. And I just kind of grabbed a bunch of shit.
Was it six or four?
It was six, at least when I went.
Ooh, okay.
Well, the Rasputin, when you buy it, comes in four.
Yeah.
But it was a build your own set.
Oh, right. I got you.
So I went to World Market and put a bunch together for my birthday. And I didn't know shit about beer at the time, so I'm just grabbing cool labels. And I grabbed that because it's a cool label and got it home. And I was like partying for my 21st and, ooh, not that one.
Yeah,
I can drink. I've had it since then. It's okay, but
that's it.
Still, even now, it's not something. I've not bought it since then. I think Riverside gave it to us one time.
I had it as part of a loyalty club back in Maryland. And then I had it, I think I had it at the Taco Mac down here. It's like drinking engine oil. In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. Yeah. But it's a dessert beer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's heavy.
Thing is not playing around.
Yeah, what got you into drinking Imperial Stouts?
My ex would brew beer and things like that.
So okay, yeah.
And he just made one, like an Imperial Stout, and he wasn't very good at it for a long time. but then, so we got some old recipe, and I'm like, oh, this is what it's supposed to taste like. This is really good.
I wish I had known. I have an Imperial Mint Stout right now that I still have some left.
Is it still good?
Yeah, it's still good. I have one the other night, yeah. It's kind of like a thin mint.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I really like the medium. Thick. I like that medium one you have.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but the mint seems to kind of dissipate a little bit.
I think that's why I like the heaviest one.
Yeah.
Well, I still have some left. If you guys want them, I'll keep them in the fridge.
Well, I need to get some because I want to take good old Andy. Mayor Andy some beers.
Of our beers. Yeah.
I was going to take them down there personally.
We still need
I really just want to walk
like stuff
into like.
In this one.
City Hall
with a six pack. Be like, you can't stop me. These are for the goddamn mayor.
It's funny. I was interviewing him and he left me a voicemail because he's running late. And he's like, this is Mayor Andy. And I'm like, oh God, I still save it because it's like hilarious. I'm like, sorry, I'm late. I'm like, the mayor's apologizing to me.
No, he's a super mayor nice. Andy. Like, he is swell.
He is swell.
You know, like, he is just a swell dude.
Mayor Andy sounds like someone who'd be on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Or Portlandia.
Yeah, Portlandia.
Oh, and he's so nice. He could be. Like,
yeah.
That dude's great. I still have a hard time believing that we interviewed him. Like, we just, and it was as simple as me just emailing him.
That's cool.
And it was even kind of a goofy email. We'd be like, yeah.
He's kind of a goofy guy.
Yeah, he is. But I mean, I like goofy people.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He was all right in my book. He sat right down and was able to just like have a conversation with us and drink some beers and talk about stuff.
Yeah, and then hung out afterwards, like off the record, just hanging out, having a couple of beers
with
us.
That's really cool. That's how you can really tell he's a cool guy.
He's
not just business and then leave.
Yeah. Well, that's what I assumed is I was thinking, I was like, okay, like, because we normally go for an hour and a half, and we got him. I was like, okay, we've got him for like 30, 45 minutes. He's the fucking mayor. Like, so he's definitely got shit to do. And we wrapped up the episode because I just assumed that he had things to do. And then we all just kind of hung out, you know, like afterwards and just had a couple beers. And yeah, he's a real cool guy.
But I am not a fan of this beer.
I'm not either.
I can't decide
pissy.
If I am or not.
Yes. Smells like piss.
I'm trying to figure out if I like this one.
No. I wouldn't drink it again.
No.
There's like particulates in it, which is interesting.
We have had this on here before, and every time we have it, we have this exact same reaction.
We do?
Yeah.
I was wondering. I was like, I don't remember the last time.
Yeah, this is the third time we've had this.
I really don't
like chunks of stuff floating around.
Yeah.
It tastes...
It's kind of gelatinous, like when you...
Yeah.
No, there's some sort of like... I want to say clean in a bad way. Not like a clean finish, but that is used for cleaning.
Mm.
Chemically. Like chemically.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's this from? It's Weibacher?
Pennsylvania, right out of there.
It's just, it's stinky and it's just...
It's super stinky.
No, it numbs... I feel like it's numbing
my
tongue.
This is the same thing we say about it every time, though, right? You said? Like, and it's just like...
Yeah, and it may be something that Jordan at Riverside, his entire joke he's just pulling on us, is he's like clocking... It's like, all right, it's about time to throw him this Weibacher again.
Could be.
Yeah.
You got like a six pack and you're the only people he gives it to. No.
Yeah. Or maybe like they just sell the least of these and he's like, oh, we got to get rid of this fucking Weibacher.
Oh, thank give God they're doing IPAs again.
Even the employees of Riverside don't want to take it home.
Yeah. No, it's stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Whatever.
Is it? I feel like it's like very subtly numbing my tongue when I drink it.
It could be.
It tastes like something.
It's the gaze of a cyclops.
It's.
But I guess any person could go back in time to any of our other episodes and sort of.
We should take a look back and see which of our episodes have Weyerbacher and just the this one specifically.
Not all Weyerbachers are bad. They have the. Are they the Blithering Idiot ones?
If they made this beer, maybe.
The Blithering Idiot's like their barley wine.
Oh,
and it
okay,
is much like the Rasputin. You save that one for the end and probably split it with someone.
Yeah, this thing is
I took a real big gulp though, and it wasn't bad. It was
is it just
because
it was over quicker?
Down the hatch.
Yeah, that could have been it.
Yeah.
I wish I could pinpoint that smell. It's not a
not in a good way.
What do we got here? Like sour breast milk from our one audience member.
That's right. Brew
I could see that. I could see, like if you let this sit out for a minute. Ooh.
Let it open air ferment.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Oh my God, I can't unsmell it now.
Oh.
Pungent.
The man on the can, he's like this bulbous cyclops guy, and it kind of like smells like his sweat or something.
And or like his ball sweat.
Oh yeah.
And weird anecdote. About cyclops is I just got a bunch of like the sort of Lego exclusive like minifigures from their like minifigure collection, and I had the dude cyclops. I was missing the lady cyclops because I love all the castle stuff. And I was supposed to get the lady Cyclops as part of this, but I got an extra dude, and I got to go home and send a picture back and be like, hey, I need the lady Cyclops, not the dude.
They were supposed to be one of each.
No, I had the dude already.
Oh, you had the dude?
Yeah,
okay.
I previously had a dude, and I was assembling him, being like, this doesn't seem right, and it wasn't. I have two dude Cyclops, there's no lady Cyclops.
Son of a bitch.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm just sitting here trying to make sure I have diversity in my Cyclops group. And
yeah, it's just
you
a group of
send the guy
now.
One of these back with the with the Cyclops that he's sent.
No, if I thought it was a malicious like intent to send me this thing, I would maybe think about that. But I'm sure it was an honest mistake. I got four other ones that were correct. So which is a simple Cyclops mix-up.
I'm going to crack open this other pedal time.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that one was.
I'm just going to move this out of my face and grab that guy.
I got to finish my Cyclops.
I think my pedal time. I think the pedal time is my pick of the night.
Yeah, me too. Then I'd go with the Blackberry Farms and then this fucking Cyclops ball sweat.
Which I think would be another great name for a beer if you like just
Cyclops
called it that.
Ball sweat. It's a super badass name, actually. I wonder if a Cyclops
would
only have like one ball.
This isn't the name I would use for it.
It would have to be, like, that beer would have to be the dankiest.
Oh, God.
It would have to be super dank.
Exponentially dank.
No, you know what would be great for that beer? You know how, like, Maker's Mark has the candle wax around the neck? If you could find a way. I mean, obviously not real hair or real fur. A band around the neck of the beer that was just fuzzy. Like not where it's going to touch your lip.
Right, no, no, I got you.
Just
I know
like,
what you're going
yeah,
for.
Yeah, where it's just there.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. It would be less intrusive than a Stella bottle where you're like eating foam. Or not foam, but foil.
Oh, foil? Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck Stella.
Fuck that. Yeah.
Their taste changed and then they... Fucking foil.
Fucking foil. Yeah. Fucking Stella.
Foiled again.
Ha-ha!
Damn. We're full of them tonight.
But anyway, let's move on to some movies here since we're done with the beer.
All right.
We're going to do some... I didn't really know what to call the episode tonight because it's kind of a mishmash of like gender film studies type stuff.
We'll say something clever later.
Yeah, I'll think of something
we'll
clever.
Yeah.
And I kind of just wanted... Because I studied that. I was a film minor. And... that was one of the things I studied, and I've always thought it was fascinating. We've never talked about it on here. So the first thing I wanted to kind of bring up was the Bechdel test, which I don't know. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and did you guys read up about it like I told you?
I knew
you
what
to?
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
I know what that was.
Yeah. I was trying to talk for the audience, guys.
We can tell them what it is.
God. But, yeah, so the Bechdel test is I'm paraphrasing here, but it's basically three rules that you can apply to any movie, but oddly enough, most American films don't pass it.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly high number that fail.
Yeah.
And then there's also some weird movies that do pass it. And one, the first rule, it's basically a set of rules that build on each other, three of them. So there's, is there more than one woman in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if yes, then do those two women speak to each other? Okay, yes, they speak. Do they speak to each other about something not concerning a man? And a surprising amount of movies made in the U.S. do not pass that. I mean, definitely don't go looking at Michael Bay if you're looking to...
He was the one, when you said something about male gaze earlier, I was like, that was the first thing I thought of.
No, we're going to talk about the male gaze on down the road, and that's definitely... Yeah, Michael Bay is the fucking male gaze. Like, they just call him the gaze on set.
I don't think that's what they call him.
That's what I'm going to start calling him.
Called Hunch, but I don't think that's how they refer to him, is the gaze. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm not on set with Michael Bay.
Yeah, you've not been there. You don't know.
No. Hey, yeah.
He's like, no homo.
Call me the gaze.
For the audience, I guess maybe I should explain this. For the audience, I'm saying male gaze as in looking at something. Not like... men that are homosexual, like male is in men looking at something. It's a film theory based on. Well, it's pretty simple. It's Michael Bay. It's like every shot you see in a movie with some hot babe with her midriff showing, and she's leaning over working on a car engine,
right?
Like she knows what she's talking about, and you know.
Whoa,
like,
are you saying women don't know how cars work?
No, I'm saying that scene with Megan Fox was fucking bullshit.
I know the exact scene you're thinking of, and it was.
Oh, you've got a double high flow pump, high tech, super duper carburetor.
Every fast movie's guilty of the male gaze, though.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. But
because we drink for the car babes.
The fast movies, not all of them, but the fast movies do a couple of them. I can't remember which one. But there's one of them that does pass the Bechdel test.
Probably.
And
I mean...
Yeah, like as they go on and the character's able to develop a little bit more. And it does build to that. And in its defense of like whatever, not even its defense, just saying something, is Fast has very strong female characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like all of them, like... I mean, not even mentioning Letty, who's the obvious one, but Paul Walker's girlfriend / wife in it. Mm-hmm. Mia.
See, yeah. I was going to say Mia's the opposite. She exists to be a damsel in distress.
Well, I mean, she is a damsel in distress, which is a trope, but she's also there. Like, she knows her stuff. She's the mom of the group. Like, she's there to hold the group together and bring them back to their moral center. And that's just a whole other different strength that, you know, you've got Letty on the other side that sort of foils that, where she's the brash sort of kick your ass one.
Yeah.
And it's sad that there's not, I guess, Giselle, who, you know, is just kind of there and then dies. Spoiler alert. But, yeah, so anyway, yeah. Maybe Bechdel, we looked it up. And
the only thing I don't know about the
Bechdel,
like,
but I've only ever heard it
called Bechdel test is how to pronounce it out loud.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard it pronounced Bechdel.
I've never heard it said out loud. Oh, except when you say it, so I have to, like, default that maybe you know how it is said out loud.
Yeah. No, I've made some movies here of some. Well, Wonder Woman was one that I wanted to bring up.
Which I still haven't
seen. Have you seen it, Jackie?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
It was great.
I watched it. I won't say what theater. But okay. I watched the movie. And I think it passes the Bechdel test. I only watched it once.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
It does.
Sure it does, yeah.
But in the beginning, isn't it her on Themyscira and... It's only women, so they'd have no reason to talk about men.
But they do, and they don't always.
Okay.
Yes, is the short answer.
And then she does talk to other women.
Yeah.
Right, later on. Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's a pretty neat scene where they're talking about fashion, but it's not in, like, that way. It's kind of an empowering way if she's trying to figure out a disguise, and she's talking to another woman. And
yeah, they're not trying
they're
to,
talking about, like...
Disguise in front of a dude and pass, like... You know, the eye candy test.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, I need
it's
to
a good
that.
Movie.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and that's something that gets increasingly interesting with female characters is, like, Patty Jenkins that directed Wonder Woman is first female that's been trusted to trust a big summer blockbuster. And it's, I can't remember what I last clocked it at, because, I mean, Spider-Man obviously just beat it because it just came out, but... I don't know, Wonder Woman, it was kicking ass up around like...
It was
like
beating the other DC films.
Yeah, it was like 168 million or something like that. It was up there. It was doing very well.
I think it passed that. 3 was the last number I saw, but that was a while ago.
Oh, yeah, I've not looked at anything in a long while. I'm pretty much just like opening weekend. But I don't know. I don't know if you guys remember a movie called Spring Breakers that came out a couple years ago, directed by Harmony Korine.
And
it had James Franco basically playing Riff Raff, the illustrious hip-hop artist. And it had Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez, and some other lady. And they played these roles of like freshmen or sophomores in college. And they were stranded at college while all their friends left for spring break. And they say, fuck it, we're going to just go to the beach. And so they go to the beach and end up getting involved with James Franco's character, who's like this... gun and drug smuggling sort of hip-hop guy. And it's a super weird, strange film, but it passes the Bechdel test. I went into it not expecting it to, because it's advertised as James Franco being the leading character, and then it's got all these girls in bikinis. So you go into it thinking, oh, this is just, you know, going to be chicks in bikinis and James Franco. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, spoiler alert, I mean, it came out 4 years ago, but he ends up dying, I believe. Maybe not. I feel like I remember that. It's been a minute since I saw it. But I remember writing a big thing that I was trying to find before we did this episode about why that movie passes the Bechdel test. It's all about these women leaving college and sort of going off on their own out of desperation, and how they get in trouble to begin with is they rob a C store. Nobody else will get that, but a convenience store. But they rob a convenience store. It's from this gig I've been working all week. They can't say convenience store. Out of convenience, it's easier to say C store than convenience store. But anyway.
It's what the millennials want.
Yeah. So they rob a convenience store, get caught, and then they're like, oh, we did that, and we got out of it, so we could start doing other stuff. So it's all about them sort of finding themselves and getting empowered. And
all right.
James Franco's character's honestly outside of, like, he's built up, I don't know, when I watched the previews, he was kind of built up to be a creep. But as the movie goes on, he's sort of like a mentor. And there's nothing that's ever brought up, really, like, sexually between them or anything like that. I don't know, it's an interesting movie. You guys haven't seen it, so, you know.
No, but it makes me think of Bad Neighbors 2, which also passes that test. That one, the one with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. And
does it, though?
It does.
Does it? Because they're still talking about all the girls are trying to overthrow, you know, their
later on,
obviously.
Yeah. But in the beginning, they're all in college talking about to each other about their hopes and dreams and stuff. And even when they're trying to overthrow, like, the other neighbors, they're talking about making the rent payments.
Okay, yeah.
Not always, yeah, but yeah. It goes back and forth, but they talk about, independent of whatever dudes are around, they got to get some rent money. And then also Mean Girls?
Mean Girls, for sure.
Yeah, Mean Girls.
Most Tina Fey stuff does, actually, yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
All of 30 Rock.
Yeah, all of 30 Rock. And you can't, I don't know if you can apply the same rules to television, but I would like to think you
I was going to ask about that, because... Yeah.
Because Tina Fey stuff definitely does.
Yeah, and like I was saying, Broad City, that's another one of hers too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably her too. But what about Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman series? Because I'm not caught up on that series. I stopped watching about halfway through season one. Because Supergirl. Yeah, Supergirl. My bad.
I don't know. I don't watch any of those.
Season
DC
two,
shows.
I would say... bombed that test.
Okay. Because season one, she's talking to Calista Flockhart, and they're all, like, talking about, you know, woman empowerment and stuff like that. But then they're like, we don't need a man to blah, blah, blah. Or like, I'm not a man. Or like something like that. Like,
right.
No man could do this. Like, I'm not a man. Like, is that still passing the test? If they're like, we can do it because we're women?
My argument is I think they just like to subscribe to the test. I think it just shouldn't mention men.
But if they're saying because I'm a woman, if they don't mention men, if they're saying I can do this because I'm a woman.
Well, that to me is, and again, we're making, three white dudes arguing.
It's still
about
making
that.
A specification, so, and that's one of the reasons why I'm asking.
Yeah, but so, in like, my mind, it would bring it down. Like it diminishes women's status if they're even having to bring men into that question to begin with. Like, why can't their shit just stand on its own?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can acknowledge the existence of men, but, like, the plot, they're, you know, what they're doing shouldn't be driven by men.
So I'd say season one probably fails, too. Because they're, I mean, she's trying to do it to prove that she's as strong as a man. What it seemed to me.
Her
anyway.
Entire character, though, is sort of that. It's like, oh, I have to prove
I'm not my cousin.
Clark Kent, cousin. You know, I'm as strong as Superman. So I think her entire character kind of bashes that.
Yeah.
Which, and if we go back, I'm sure, I mean, Wonder Woman was kind of created. And again, I may just be pulling this out of my ass because I don't know enough about DC comic history. But I feel just as close-minded and as bigoted as the world was back when, you know, back in the 40s and 50s when comic books were created, is it makes sense to me with that sort of worldview from then, think, oh, we've got Superman. We should make Superman for little girls. And I feel like that's kind of where Wonder Woman would have come from, or Supergirl is.
Supergirl, yeah.
Yeah, we should basically just make Superman, but
Supergirl didn't happen until the 50s or 60s or something.
I don't know.
Wonder Woman happened in the 40s.
Yeah.
And she was, unfortunately, like, half the time sort of typecast as, like, the Justice... Like, she'd be in the Justice Society, but she'd be the one, like, that brings them cookies.
Yeah.
like, her and, like, Black Canary would, like, be the secretaries of the Justice Society in, like, a weird way. They'd be like, oh, we're going to go save the world. All together, like, did you take the notes in that meeting, Wonder Woman? She was like, of course I did. I'm Wonder Woman. I can do anything, like, bake and take notes. And they're like, yes, you can. Empowerment. Because that's the 40s for you.
Yeah, I mean, all up through, like, you know, especially in the 50s. And then into the 60s, and then, you know, so on and so forth. But the 50s, for sure. And that was kind of when all comic book heroes were created. So I can totally see them just being, no, we need a woman, Superman.
A woman Superman, know. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, you'd think that, like, the, you know, first big super, you know, hero female would have, like, her own identity and not just be a knockoff of the male one.
Well, I mean, similar to kind of all superheroes that were created during that time is her identity didn't really come around. I mean, it sort of got created as she existed as a character. Like, I don't know if all the shit about her being the daughter of Zeus living on Themyscira with this group of Amazonian women.
Wonder Woman as a character has suffered from a weird amount of retcons because every 5 years someone's like, this is confusing. Yeah. I'm just going to make a definitive version. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years later, that's just, this is confusing, plus that last guy's version. I'm going to make the definitive version.
Right.
Like, you know, universal ports to something. Like, what if we tried to make one? You have the same amount as before, plus another one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. In my mind, of course, I could be like, I can make the definitive version, and then I'm just one of a million people being like, here's another version for it.
Right.
Yeah. But it's usually some form of island full of women called Themyscira / Paradise Island. Mother probably sculpted her from clay. Steve Trevor shows up, drags her off to Man's World, and now she's saving everyone. Sometimes she can fly. Sometimes there's an invisible jet.
Sometimes.
Sometimes she spins around and changes costume.
You know, I'm really sad that we'll never see the Invisible Jet on
because it's invisible.
It's invisible.
I thought that was a good joke, guys. I like that. But I don't know. I mean, it's like looking at DC, you only really have, like, I mean, I guess you could argue like Harley Quinn and whatnot villain wise, but
this new Harley Quinn sucks.
She only came around in the 90s.
Yes.
And that's just arguing that like they have a female character.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. A lot of them are villainesses.
Yeah.
Scantily clad.
Very
villainesses.
That is a whole thing with DC. Most of the villains are female. Yeah, like femme fatale sort of.
Because that's hot.
Ladies, yeah.
It's what millennials
think. Sure, yeah. That's what millennials think. The quarterly earnings show. But no, another one I want to talk about, because I actually went and rewatched this movie to make sure it passed, because I actually do kind of like this movie. It's Guilty Pleasure. Miss Congeniality. It passes the Bechdel test. Like, hands down. Hands the fuck down passes that shit. And it's a pretty good movie. Yeah.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock. She goes undercover to... I'm going to get Brian to watch this if he hasn't already.
I'm sure he's seen Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, he's had to have seen Miss Congeniality. Brian is a homebrewer that we have guest on here periodically. And she goes undercover. I can't remember what reason. Like, William Shatner and some other lady are trying to blow up like the Miss Universe pageant or something.
That's right.
And then Sandra Bullock has to go undercover to stop it.
Because it is the bomb in the tiara. And yeah, she's got got to win the pageant. Yeah.
And then it's got that attractive dude that was in The Wire, Benjamin Bratt.
All right.
Yeah, he's a good-looking, handsome dude. He's in it. And, yeah, have you not watched The Wire?
I've seen all The Wire.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're talking about the main dude?
Yeah, the main dude.
Okay.
Yeah. He kind of looks a little bit Latino, a little bit.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Do you not find him attractive, Jared?
He was in Doctor Strange.
He was.
Yeah, he played the cripple guy that was using magic walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. He's all right.
Yeah, I like him as an actor. He's always been a good actor in my eyes. But anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about, though. I wanted to talk about the male gaze, which is something, and also tie that in with a movie I watched this week, which is a new movie that came out called The Bad Batch.
I've heard of that.
And
I have not.
It's weird as shit. It's a female director. It's shot gorgeously. But I don't know. The premise of it is it stars Suki Waterhouse. Let me tell you the cast here.
All right.
You got Suki Waterhouse, Jason Momoa, the guy that plays Khal Drogo, Jim Carrey, Giovanni Ribisi, Keanu Reeves, I can't remember his name, but he's the guy that played Cassian in Rogue One. Big cast.
Okay.
Big cast. That's why I watched it. I was like, what is this crazy thing going on? And there's apparently, it takes place in the not too distant future, where there is essentially a part of the United States has been divided into a penal colony, where they send you, if you're part of the Bad Batch, which instead of throwing our, it's basically the result of our jails getting overpopulated. And then it's just, if you're a drug addict or whatever, bad batch, they send you this penal colony. And you're not in chains and whatnot, but, I mean, there's cannibals there. And, like, just bad shit. And it's kind of like Burning Man happening all at once. But Burning Man's, like, really taking a rough turn. Like, okay. People started trading things that shouldn't be traded. And... It's a super strange movie, but it's all about, like, Suki Waterhouse gets put in there and gets taken up by the cannibals.
When you're saying they're trading things that shouldn't be traded, are you talking about, like body
legs.
Parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like arms, legs.
That's okay. That's awesome.
I was thinking dicks. Pokemon cards.
Pokemon cards. They should not be traded.
Well, if it's a fair trade.
Collected
the whole,
and saved.
The franchise is based on trading with your friends, Jared.
I know. Well, not the fucking Pokemon Go franchise.
Ugh. Don't get me started.
I'm just
game.
Saying. Just saying. It sucks.
I just wanted it to be good.
But yeah, anyway, this movie, it I don't know. It's a weird movie. I don't know if I liked it or not. And it's been like 4 or 5 days since I watched it. But it was a really weird movie. And it's all about Suki Waterhouse loses her arm and leg. And that's kind of the whole thing, is it cost her an arm and a leg to get to this place. But she eventually figures out how to build herself a new leg that's got a revolver hidden inside of it. And it does not pass the Bechdel test. But with that being said, it doesn't have much dialogue in it, really, at all. Like, you could watch this movie on silent. Hmm. And it's the same thing, I'm pretty sure. You would get the exact same story with no dialogue. Even though I wish you could get a soundtrack that was just the soundtrack and just, like, no dialogue. Because the soundtrack's pretty great. It used a bunch of, like, synth, like, 80s-sounding synth stuff.
I mean, you probably could if you, like, YouTube the OST.
Yeah, but knowing how, getting it to sync up with the scenes, okay. Where it's properly edited and all that. And, yeah, it's a weird movie. I'd recommend people watch it. But, yeah, I watched it sort of in preparation for this because it was a female director. And, you know, I like female directors, like, you know, Sofia Coppola. I really like her. Like, it's kind of a generic one to go with, but I do. I really like her. I want to see that new movie she's got.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the Civil War. I can't remember what it's called. And it's a remake. But it's about...
Damn, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a period piece in the Civil War with Colin Farrell. And he stays at a school. He's a wounded soldier and gets like a love affair going on between... And then it's got Nicole Kidman just giving stink eye and high cheekbones.
It's what she does best.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by Mad Max, the new one. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
Fury Road. That one passes the test.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It does? They're not talking about, like, a Morton Joe the whole time?
No.
Oh, good.
No, they talk about trying to escape.
Okay.
They talk about, which, I don't know, you could tangentially sort of say...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, and Morton Joe put them in these situations.
Right.
So you could sort of say, but yeah, they don't mention Max to each other.
He doesn't say anything for the first half of the movie.
He just grunts the whole time. And but for the majority of the movie, it's like it's him grunting, and it's a silent movie. And I'm trying to think, and I'm pretty sure, it's just them talking about kind of getting out of their situation. It's not.
Hmm. Okay.
And then the older ladies at the end. It was very empowering.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it, Tanner.
Yeah.
You can't see this right now, but I'm shaking my head.
Well, whatever. It's been a long day. Whatever. It don't matter. But anyway, so let's talk about the male gaze. That's something that... It's another thing I would throw in with the whole Bechdel test and something with American cinema that is not too popular. I mean, Ninja Turtles.
Ugh, that's Ninja, Michael Bay. It's Michael Bay again.
But that's
the new one.
It is based on Ninja, like, just factually, not quoting their name, but they are turtles that are teenage and ninja. Like, they are not of legal age. The heroes themselves, allegedly. And... There's a scene in one of the movies that's got April O'Neil, Megan Fox, like walking towards the camera, just like she ties up her like button down shirt into a midriff thing, like puts her hair up, puts a wig on, and gets all sexy and shit. That's the male gaze. Like Michael Bay is the male gaze, the gaze himself.
He's everything that's wrong with cinema in general.
I wouldn't go that far because, I mean, I think there's art in everything, and he can blow the fuck out of something and make it look really cool.
The male gaze.
But that's about all he can do. Yeah. No, I'll tell you why he is the epitome of the male gaze. Have you guys seen his Victoria's Secret commercial?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to link to this in the show notes.
I never thought I would defend a Victoria's Secret commercial, but isn't the entire purpose of any Victoria's Secret commercial, regardless of director... the male gaze.
Yeah, right. but that's the weird thing about lingerie, though.
And does he make and it Victoria's creepier?
Because Victoria's Secret is weird because it's a product for women, but they're advertising to men to get the men to go buy these things for the women. Man, I saw Gisele Bündchen wear this on the TV, and you'll be sexy as fuck, baby. You know, like, and this commercial, it's literally. It's just like runway models walking in lingerie down like an airplane tarmac and like helicopters exploding. Everything looks like it's at sunset. I'm going to link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, you should do that.
It's a hell of a commercial. And it's America, goddammit.
That's, oh my God.
Whew, that commercial is the male gaze. Like Michael Bay, I mean, that's.
He blows the male gaze out of the water.
Yeah, no, he really does. I mean, it's always been a thing to a lesser extent. Well, I don't know. An area where James Cameron's very good about putting in strong female characters in his movies because the relationship he had with his mom and his dad wasn't super around a lot. And so that's why you've got Sigourney Weaver as mm-hmm. Ellen Ripley. And then you've got same actor Sigourney Weaver in Avatar. He's playing another strong female character. And then you've got Nala or whatever Zoe, what's her name's character is, the blue alien in Avatar. And then even going back to The Abyss, he's always got strong female characters in his movies.
And Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, and Sigourney Weaver. But not all of his movies always pass the Bechdel test, which is a weird thing. And the Bechdel test isn't like a good or bad thing. It's just kind of is. It's just like something.
Yeah, when you mentioned Alien, I was thinking about the second one because there is like a female terrible Marine. And I'm sure that her and Sigourney Weaver they talk about something, probably aliens or survival.
Well, that Marine pretty much just says stuff like, it's time to go kick some ass. You know, just like generic, just like alien fighting words.
Yeah, I don't remember if they had a conversation.
Yeah, I don't know.
But just by having her in there.
I shouldn't try to defend that movie.
She's the one, she's doing like chin-ups at the beginning.
Yeah, no, I know who she is.
And one of the Colonial Marines is like, hey, Velasquez, has anyone ever mistaken you for a man? I think it's Bill Paxton, actually. And then she's like, no, has anyone mistaken you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's game over, guys. God, I love Bill Paxton.
God, I hate that Bill movie.
Yeah, fuck that movie. That movie is so bad. God damn it.
Do you like Aliens?
I saw the new one, and I recently saw the original, and that's it. And Prometheus, but...
Okay. You've got a journey to take. Yeah, I like the second one a lot.
I was really disappointed that the last one didn't have the newest one didn't have a cat in it.
Mm.
That was unfortunate.
I wish they should do one since it kind of morphs with whatever it attaches to. Having a cat one would be fucking terrifying.
It did. That was the one in the grass. The tall grass. That's why you always carry a Pokemon in the tall grass.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Wait, was there a thing with the cat and...
I don't remember. I'm just assuming that the random four-legged xenomorph that left Adam from the tall grass, that was a cat one.
That, like, scuttled off. Yeah.
Like raptor style from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. The long grass.
And the corn. And the wheat.
Anywhere. Let me check our time over
everywhere.
Here.
Everywhere.
It's 7:24.
This universe is rife with wheat.
What if someone had celiacs?
Yeah. Whew. That's the only way. That's like an M. Night Shyamalan twist. That's the way to take out the aliens.
Wheat.
They have celiac disease.
Dude, speaking of Shyamalan,
it'd be
I know we're digressing here a little bit, but have you seen his new movie?
Split.
I heard it was good. I haven't seen it.
Ooh, yeah,
it is pretty good.
Hmm. It's a sequel to, what is that, Unbreakable?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which was the last decent movie of his, I believe we decided. Yeah.
If it was Shyamalan, the weakness would be water, like in Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And Signs.
Well, he's got to switch it.
Presumably Lady in the Water.
It's 2017. He's got to switch it up. He's going with wheat instead.
Oh, okay.
It's all about the gluten. It's a protein, by the way.
Oh, thank you for that.
It's not wheat. Gluten is not wheat. Gluten is a protein.
I devour gluten.
Just saying.
It just does not bother me.
No, me too. I love it.
Anyway. But, Jay, I wanted to ask you before we have to get off here, just so people kind of get a scope where you're coming from film-wise, since, you know, we like to talk about movies on here. What kind of movies do you typically watch? So, and what kind of shit do you usually like?
I'm really into TV, but if I go to the movies, I watch the new Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. I like independent movies a lot. Mm. Oh, Baby Driver. That was really good. Watched that recently.
I'm hoping to see that by next week to talk about that, actually. Yeah.
It was different than most movies. I liked it a lot. I highly recommend it. I don't know. I like movies that a lot of people consider dude movies or whatever.
Dude movies.
But I like period pieces and, you know, comedies and stuff, too.
Did you say you had seen the Fast movies, or no?
I've only seen one of those, and that was when it first came out, and I really hated it.
But. It was probably Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. No, I mean like the original.
I was once an unbeliever.
The first one was rough if you weren't looking
at the first head. One, yeah, if you go into the first one, like, you have to, it needs to come with a preface of like, okay, here's what it is. Like, it's basically Point Break, but with cars, and just like, no, like, it's a bunch of these people's first roles ever, and Vin Diesel was a dancer, and just, like, preface it so you know that it gets better, for sure. But it's like, but also preface it with, like, and then the one after this is just kind of fun, and then it gets real shitty for an hour and a half, and then it starts to get really, really good.
You just preface it with a preview for the newer one, like, okay, the first one's exactly what everyone thinks this franchise is. But just so you know, at some point, the family's going to fight a submarine in the Arctic.
Yeah, the trailer for the new one looked pretty good.
It's looking crazy.
Brew Chat's got a great drinking game on our website.
Oh, cool.
Now, go awesome. Watch those movies.
There will be a series of events that lead up to fighting a submarine in the Arctic Circle. It takes 7 movies, but it's going to get wild.
Oh, it's a
the journey is actually worth it. I'll say that.
If you guys like, you know, cars and stuff, you'll love Baby Driver. Like, okay. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was hesitant about that movie, but I'll take your review on that one.
It's one of the highest rated movies on Rotten Tomatoes ever right now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
And it's Edgar Wright. You know, he did Kick-Ass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Did you see John Wick 2?
I have not. I love the first one.
Did you see? Okay.
The second one's on my list.
It is. Yeah. That is definitely worth a watch, too.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
I really love the first one. Surprisingly good.
I need to go see Spider-Man. That's actually...
I do too.
I was going to tell you guys, I'm trying to get into it so we can talk about it next week.
I watched it last week with my nephew, and it was everything that the other Spider-Man should have been. Like,
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's surprising. Like, there's some parts that are really surprising you don't expect. There's, like, genuine twists, which is hard to do in movies like that. Yeah. But the new kid is amazing, so I liked it a lot.
He's great.
And he's refreshing.
British, another foreigner taking her job.
Was he British?
Yeah. You would never tell, would you? Yeah. Never tell. And he is Peter Parker. Like, he goes and does hospital visits and stuff.
Aww,
and then knowing that he's British, that. And he just ditches that, and he sounds like Peter Parker.
You know, I was really surprised when I learned Chris Evans was super British.
Whoa.
Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whoa, no. That dude's like America as they come.
I can't keep... No, he is.
No, okay. I was about to say.
That's kind of weird casting choice. Yeah.
No, he's not British at all.
Because at that point, why not? Because there is a Captain Britain.
Yeah, and maybe in his ancestry somewhere. No, I was just
talking
shit.
Oh, you like this? Our Lady Milena.
Squirrel Girl.
Was cast as Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The AT&T lady.
Yeah.
We've got a crazy crush on her. And
she's a cutie.
Yeah. But she was cast as Squirrel Girl today. What is it? The New Warriors. That's what it's called.
Something like,
yeah.
And I can't tell you what Squirrel Girl's powers are.
They listed everyone else in that show, and I didn't know who any of them were except for Squirrel Girl.
So I was just playing Lego Avengers, and I unlocked Squirrel Girl, and her long-range attack is she throws squirrels. So I can only assume that that's something
she
does.
So she like throws her.
She
own
throws
kind?
Them. She can also like.
She's
call...
not a squirrel.
Well, that's true.
Well, she's got like a tail,
she
has squirrel like abilities. She can jump really high, and she can like call squirrels. I guess kind of like Ant-Man, but with squirrels.
Yeah. Are they like rabid? And, like, what are they?
No, just like squirrels. Or you know,
like, yeah. Rabid ones would be better though.
Rabid squirrels. Did Willard have rabid rats, or did he just use regular old rats? Going away, and not that he's Marvel, but you know, Willard. Did you ever knew the story?
Yeah, the rat movie. I don't remember enough.
Does
of
she
it
have any like?
I think it's kind of like that, but with squirrels.
Like, does she throw nuts?
Now
she
in the game, I'm sure this is probably
just kicks everybody just kicks in the nuts. Squirrel attack.
Yeah, she's probably got like reflexes like a squirrel. Maybe little claws or something. I don't know.
Her only weakness is cars.
And large birds, maybe foxes.
That's a weird superhero there.
I think she started as a joke, but then they like made it super, like that she's like the ultimate person off panel. Like there's things of it's like, no, you just like, oh, Squirrel Girl, you just defeated the one true Thanos who is not a clone or LMD or anything. You totally took him out on your own.
Well, she is apparently like super strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you never like see strong. Any of that weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, for such tiny arms.
If she can summon rabid squirrels, like how Batman has that thing in his boot.
With the bats.
Oh, where yeah. he summons the bats. Mm-hmm. And if you could summon that many fucking squirrels,
yeah,
like you could do some shit.
A horde. Maybe they like smother squirrels. People with their bushy tails.
Yeah, like right. where like the scarabs and the mummy, how they just cover something.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Squirrels, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They yeah. just nibble it to death.
Yeah.
Piranhas, but tiny less efficient.
Tiny little bites.
yeah. My dad was bit by a squirrel one time, and he said it sucks.
I like, bet it did.
They'll go to the bone. I mean, they chew on...
They're rodents,
nuts.
So
like,
yeah.
We're going to laugh at this, but yeah, they chew on nuts all day.
Yeah.
And so they've got big teeth. Like, they have to...
Really strong jaws.
Yeah, they're like hamsters. Like, they have to constantly chew to whittle their teeth down.
Mm-hmm.
So they could bite the fuck through a finger.
They, like, hide bodies during the winter, come back to them.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
Dude, it's like, I love when I see a squirrel out in the... I mean, I don't love it. I don't really care. But it's just... It cracks me up for some reason. They're out there digging. I'm like, oh. Like, that's the squirrel equivalent of them forgetting where they put their cell phone. Or, like, where they parked at Walmart. Or, like, they're trying to figure out where they put their nuts. Like, oh, I know. I put some over here. Like, and they just... Yeah. Anyway. On that note, I'm probably going to wrap it up. I want to thank you, Jackie. Do you have anything to plug that you got coming out? Or I know you're working on your own podcast stuff, too, if you want to plug that.
Yeah, I'm working. I have a podcast called Backwoods, and we're going to be – I do independent work, but with this podcasting app called Auto Radio, O-T-T-O, and we're going to be moving the podcast over there and making original programming, things like that. So you can tune in there and hear some of my work.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Cool.
And, I want to thank you for joining us again. And unless you guys...
I got nothing going
on, Southern Brewers Fest next month, right?
Yeah, Southern Brewers Fest, I think the 26th, August 26th.
Yep.
Should be a good time.
Yeah.
And, we'll be down there filming, so if you see us, come check us out.
When is Deep Brew Sea?
I think it's this weekend.
That's a thing that's going on. Is that this weekend? Oh.
Oops. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's this weekend. I won't be there.
Yeah.
And neither will Brew Chat, but we will be at Southern Brewers Fest
filming
and doing all sorts of interviews and fun stuff. So make sure to say hey. Also, make sure you go to brewchat.com. Check out the website. We got lots of fun stuff on there. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all those fun social media things. It's all just Brew Chat with two T's. Go to that. We've also got a temporary store on the website until we get a full one going, but you can order some t-shirts, things like that.
Glasses.
And give us your money. We can buy cool equipment and do more cool things for you guys. So, till next time. This has been, episode 83 of the Brew Chat Podcast.
Yeah.